Ask you to turn to Mark, the 8th chapter. I love the singing. I love the song. I love to tell the story. I want to thank Brother Decker, the congregation, for the opportunity to come and share with you the story. Others can do a much better job at it, but I still love trying to tell the story. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My message this morning deals with the subject, how much is your soul worth? How much is your soul worth? These words of Jesus, we are reminded of the value of the soul. It's the most valuable possession that one has. All earthly possessions and positions and pleasures and power are not worth one soul. The human soul, I'm talking about your soul, is of infinite worth. Our souls will be in existence somewhere when this world turns to dust. Our souls will go on endlessly, dateless, timeless, measureless throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Our souls are worth more than all the riches that this soul world has to offer. Our body may die, and our souls will live on. Yes, my friend, these souls of ours will never cease to exist. In the human soul can no more cease to exist than God himself can cease to exist. God will always exist, and the soul will always exist. And I say we live in a body. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we had a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Bible calls our bodies an earthly house. And so, does a man really have a soul? Some teach otherwise. Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults tell us that there is no such thing. But there is a soul. In Matthew 10:28, he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible teaches that an individual exists after death. In the teachings of Jesus, man is both body and soul, and the soul can survive the murder of the body. We just read the scripture. The story of Lazarus and the rich man prove, my friend, that the soul, amen, of the saint and the sinner will survive physical death. Some say that's only a parable in Luke the 16th chapter. However, friend, parables were true to life stories in that day. And so the promise to the thief, notice in Luke 23 and verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So there's an inner man that can be renewed even while the outer man decays. Is not that what the Bible says? Yes, though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So one can be with the Lord while absent from the body. It's what the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8. And there's a part of man that can be out of the body, according to 2 Corinthians 12:3. And so he said there, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. And one can be dead and yet be with Christ, because the scripture says in Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I got a question for every individual that's here this morning. How much is your soul really worth? I tell you, friend, that soul within you is very, very valuable. And I'm here to try to help you to see you need to treat it that way, because it's valuable. You know why? Because the soul within you was made in the image of God. The soul does not cease to exist at death. The body dies and soon, my friend, returns back to the dust. But the soul, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verse number 7, it returns to God who made it. And certainly, friend, those who are dead, they are awaiting the resurrection. They're awaiting the judgment, because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So if it requires a great cost to redeem it, that means it's valuable. Yes, friend, if you want to know how much you're worth, if you want to know how valuable that your soul is, go to bloody Calvary. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ dying upon the cross, giving his last drop of blood. What price is required to redeem men's souls from the wrath of God? Nothing but the blood of God's Son could redeem your soul and my soul. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of their father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Even, friend, if we cannot fully comprehend why Jesus had to die, we should be able to see that the souls of men must be extremely valuable, because the death of Christ was necessary in order to redeem the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And the scripture says, what would a man give in exchange for a soul? What does that mean? Exchange pictures a business transaction in which one is bartering something for something else. Barter means to trade or exchange one commodity for another. Thus, my friend, it means to trade your soul for something else. I read many years ago, I've told this here before, how that there was someone and they were asking, how much money would an individual have to give you that would cause you to be unfaithful to your companion? How much would someone have to give you in order to commit that sin? Some people said $10, others said 50, others said 100, some said 1,000, but almost everybody in the poll said, yes, I would be unfaithful to my companion for $1,000,000. Well, you know what? I don't think God looks at the price. He just looks that you can be bought. He don't look at the $10 and the $1,000,000. He just looks at the fact that you can be bought. Things for which people trade their souls. The soul is valuable. Look around. Look what people are trading their souls for. They're trading their souls for earthly riches and fame. Yes, friend, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yet they've traded their souls for what is corruptible, what can be stolen. We have a treasurable, valuable treasure in our souls. Friend, it is a foolish transaction to try to bargain away our souls for the hope of gaining the whole world. And why is that a bad bargain? My friend Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. It is amazing how cheaply some people will try to bargain away their souls for this whole world. Friend, the part of the world we gain can't be kept. Nobody has ever gained the whole world. Nobody could ever gain the whole world. But the scripture says, if you could, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Because time and decay will take away those treasures that you gave up your soul for. Friend, the world will never satisfy. If we could gain the world, and even if we could keep it, the world would never satisfy. And so for others, it's the passing pleasures of sin. People today, I've watched young people leave the church and sell their soul for the pleasures of sin. Young people, the Bible should inspire us to make the right choice, like Joseph did in the Bible. A young man, he made a wise choice, like Moses did, choosing to suffer the afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy sin for a season. Be wise like Daniel, because he determined he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the wine which he drank. For others, my friend, it's a convenient false doctrine. Did you know you can sell your soul to false religion? And the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You can be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Pleasures cannot satisfy. Possessions cannot satisfy. Philosophy cannot satisfy. To lose your soul would be a tragic loss. Look at movie stars. Look at millionaires. Look at prominent people. Look at celebrities. They have fine mansions. They own lots of property. They're millionaires, but they're not satisfied. If they were satisfied, they wouldn't end their life. They wouldn't take an overdose. This tells me that these things that the world has to offer does not satisfy the soul. Amen. Many people lose their soul simply because they neglect the things of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Christian, don't neglect your salvation. Dear friends, brethren, sinner friend, don't lose your soul. Humbly submit yourself to the will of God. Let his word, let his spirit guide you. Let no man beguile you. Overcome temptation. Suffer for the cause of Christ if need be. It matters not what else you might do in this life. If you're not saved, you've been a complete failure. Yes, when you come to the end of life's journey, no matter what you've obtained in this life, if you're not saved, you've been a complete failure. Down through your life, you may gather about you great riches and fame, and you might lead thousands of your friends to mourn your departure. But if you've not been saved, friend, your life has been a miserable failure. You may be a millionaire, and there's nothing wrong with having money, but there's something wrong when money has you. You could be a millionaire, have millions in the bank, own a mansion and lots of property, but if you leave this world without Jesus Christ, I tell you, friend, you have been a miserable failure. Amen. On the other hand, you may die in a charity home for the poor. You might have to be buried in a potter's field without a single friend to mourn your death. But If you have a saved soul, your life was a marvelous success. Looking on the rich man in Luke 16, he was a marvelous success because he had everything, no doubt, that money could buy. But my friend, that's not being successful, because at the end of his life, he lost his soul. On the other hand, people looking on, so old Lazarus, he's a beggar. He laid there begging for the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Oh, I don't want to end up like him, but his life was a wonderful success. Amen. You know why? Because he had a saved soul. Amen. So thank God we can leave here a marvelous success. If we have Jesus, if we're saved, you can't afford to lose your soul. For if you lose your soul, you've lost everything. To the faithful will be given a place of eternal rest, a place where there's no pain, no sickness, no death. There's an inheritance, the Bible says, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. On the other hand, there's a place, and don't ever forget it, of eternal punishment. It's where the wicked will be tormented throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. You can go through this life and say, I don't believe it. That's never going to happen. But I promise you, it will happen if you die without Christ. It's where, my friend, you will be on your great foolishness for having sold your soul for little petty things. And when you get into eternity and look back in this life and see what you sold your soul for, you're going to say, that was crazy. That was foolish. Dear friends and brethren, you don't have to lose your soul. Humbly submit yourself to the will of God. Let God's word guide you. Amen. Yes, friend, overcome temptation. Many of us pamper our bodies, but neglect our souls. Have you been neglecting your soul? Jesus taught that it's a bad bargain if a man were to exchange his soul for anything in this world. Our souls will be in existence either in heaven or hell throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Yes, my friend, Daniel 12, we read it last night, verse number 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Our souls will have everlasting life or everlasting shame and contempt. What I'm asking you tonight or this morning is, are you willing to risk losing your soul? Up at this point, I'm preaching to some people that you have been willing week after week, month after month, to risk losing your soul. It's a very foolish thing. Because those of you that I'm talking to, you've been risking your soul, but you would not go out here and get in a car that had four bald tires with the thread sticking through and go 120 miles an hour down the road. You said that'd be crazy. I wouldn't risk that. You wouldn't get your car, your family in the car. You wouldn't even go by yourself down the road 100 miles an hour and you got four bald tires where you can see the thread. You wouldn't do that. And if you went home tonight and you got natural gas in your house and you could smell it and the alarms were going off, you would not risk taking your family and going to bed. You'd go to a motel tonight. You'd call the gas company because you would not want to risk your life and your family's life. But the risk you're taking is far greater than that, because you're risking your soul. That, my friend, is a far greater risk. Someone said, well, it's just my soul. That's not true. Because you, my friend, are having effect on someone else. It's not just you. people are looking to you and they're making a decision on your decision. We're having an effect on people positively or negatively. Are you risking your soul, risking losing the most valuable thing that you have, and that is your soul? We must value our soul even above our physical life, because this physical life is temporal. James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. To which of these should we give the most attention? That which will be forever, or that which only lasts a few years? I believe we ought to give the most attention to that, my friend, that's going to last forever. And that is our souls. What will you give in exchange for your soul? If you lose your soul, it's going to be an irreversible loss. Did you hear me this morning? Listen, friend, if you lose your soul, it's going to be an irreversible loss, because there's a great gulf fixed between hell and heaven. You just can't step out of heaven into hell, or step out of hell into heaven. It will be too late when you come to the judgment to plead for mercy. You're going to plead for mercy on that day. The Bible says that. But there's coming a time that it's going to be too late to cry for mercy. But it's not this morning. You may have it, but you have to call for mercy while the door of mercy is still open. If you lose your soul, it is an end. Measurable loss. You can't even measure the loss if you lose your soul. All the wealth of the world cannot compare to the value of your soul. And not only that, if you lose your soul, it's an irreplaceable loss. If you lose other things, you can replace it. But there's no way that an individual can replace their soul once it's lost. There's no substitute for your soul. Not only that, it's an inexcusable loss. Amen. It's inexcusable. There was a way made that you wouldn't have to lose your soul. And some of you have been raised in the church, and you've had far greater opportunities than a lot of people. You know what that means? You're far more responsible. You're more responsible than the person downtown here that's never heard the gospel truth like you have. Listen, don't ever forget, Church of God. Don't ever forget, young people. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Much will be required of you when you stand before God in the judgment. You don't have to lose your soul. There's no reason why you would have to go to hell. Jesus paid the price. Many are engaged in bargaining away their soul for a little piece of the world here and a little piece of the world there, a little pleasure here and a little pleasure there. It's a fatal tragedy. The devil wants you to lose your soul. Some people play very carelessly with your soul. I'm looking in the faces of some here this morning. I tell you, you've been playing very carelessly with your soul. Amen. Many people sit in church, even this week, haughty, unbowed, unbent. and their eternal destiny is at hand. There's only one move that you can make to save your soul, and that's repent of your sins. Give your heart to the Lord. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to lose your soul. Put your faith where God put your sins. You know where God put your sins? On the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. Do you know Jesus personally? Do you know him intimately? If not, can you pray to him this morning, asking for salvation? Be born again. Call upon Jesus this morning. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. He said that he wouldn't cast any away that came with a broken heart and contrite spirit. And he said, whosoever, put your name there, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.